Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
Well, the students are all at their desks, and the teacher is standing in the front of the room. They've spent a lot of time together. The students have been diligently learning and listening, and the teacher's been trying to help them grow. But now it's test day. And it's an oral test. But they can answer it together as a class. "Who do people say that I am?" Teacher Jesus asks his class. One of the disciples raises a hand. Yes, John, Jesus says. "Well, some people say you're John the Baptist." Another hand. "James, yes. Some say you're Elijah." Finally, another hand. "Yes, Andrew. Some say you're one of the prophets." Jesus doesn't compliment or critique any of their answers. He just moves on to the next question. "But who do you say that I am?" Then no one raises their hands. Didn't they just give some good answers? What was he expecting them to say now? Are they supposed to agree with what everybody else said, or are they supposed to say something different? And if they say something different and they're wrong, they look stupid in front of their friends. So they all stay quiet. That is, all of them except Peter. His hand shot up. And I can imagine Andrew, Peter's brother, just shaking his head. He never knew what his impulsive brother was going to say. Peter liked to talk a lot. And sometimes he said something really smart, and sometimes he said something really stupid. It was hard to tell what it was going to be with Peter. So everybody looked over at Peter. They knew they could count on him to speak up when they weren't sure what to say, or when they just didn't want to look like a fool. "Yes, Peter," Teacher Jesus says. "You are the Messiah," Peter said. Now let's pause for just a moment. Today, of course, we would say, "Yes, that's right, Peter, good job. You get a gold star." But let's not jump there so fast. Yes, Peter's right. But let's think about it. Messiah was the Hebrew word meaning anointed one. Christ just means the same thing in Greek. And the Messiah was supposed to fulfill the promise that God made to David, that somebody from David's line would be king forever. Well, when David's unified kingdom split, and when the neighboring empires destroyed it and sent everyone into exile, people began to wonder what happened to that promise. Obviously, God was still faithful, because that's just who God is, but where was the fulfillment of this promise? Fast forward to the time of the disciples, and they're still waiting for the fulfillment. Now, Peter thinks that Jesus is the Messiah. But remember, the Messiah was supposed to be a military leader. He was supposed to be strong and powerful like David. He was supposed to be someone who would defend the people against the ruling empires, like, for example, Rome. But Jesus hasn't done anything like that. Jesus has been teaching and healing and doing some miracles. He hasn't looked very Messiah-like. But Peter still makes this declaration. Why? Because it's a leap of faith. It sounds completely ridiculous, but Peter still says it. Right, Jesus didn't seem to respond when the class said people were calling him John the Baptist or Elijah or one of the other prophets. So apparently all of those answers were wrong. Who else could he be? The Messiah. Well, but after Peter said that, Jesus sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Now that sounds a bit weird too, right? Aren't we supposed to tell people about Jesus? Well, in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is very secretive about his identity. And maybe it's because the idea that he is the Messiah sounds ridiculous to others. But to the faithful, it makes sense. Which, of course, includes us. Right? As modern-day hearers of this text, we already know Jesus is the Messiah. In fact, Mark 1:1 even tells us so, right at the very beginning of the book. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Right? Christ and Messiah mean the same thing. The good news of Jesus Christ. So we know the twist. We know he's the Messiah. We know the story. But the story doesn't end there. Because that's not the only twist. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. Now Peter, who had just correctly said that he's the Messiah, didn't see this one coming. Peter's likely thinking of the Davidic Messiah, the one who's supposed to be strong and powerful. So he was supposed to destroy the Romans, not be destroyed by the Romans. What Jesus is talking about sounds more like the suffering servant from Isaiah. So Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Imagine the scene back in the classroom. Jesus was just telling them all of this stuff that would happen to him. And Peter raised his hand again. "Yes, Peter?" Teacher Jesus said. "Can I say something to you privately?" So Jesus comes over to Peter's desk and leans down to him. The other disciples look at each other and they hear some whispering, but they don't quite know what Peter's saying. Suddenly they see Jesus stand up straight and tall, give Peter a harsh look and say, "Get behind me, Satan. For you're setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." The other disciples kind of look around at each other and one whispers to another, "I'm glad I'm not Peter." Peter, the blockhead, went from rock solid to stumbling block in a few seconds. And it's so easy for us to critique Peter. Right? It's so easy for us to imagine ourselves as the other disciples sitting in our nice little desks listening to Jesus. We see that kid who always speaks up all the time. And sometimes he says the right thing and sometimes the wrong thing. Sometimes he's the teacher's pet, and sometimes he gets a ruler smacked on his desk. But we would rather just play it safe and not say anything. Our friends will more likely accept us if we don't speak up. Right? We don't want to risk it and look like we're sucking up to the teacher. And we also don't want to risk it and look stupid in the eyes of our friends. So we just sit in our nice little desks, our nice little pews, our nice little lives, and we don't say a word. Or if we do say a word, we say the same thing Peter said, because we know that's the right answer. We know that's what we're supposed to say. It's kind of like, who do other people say that I am? Well, Peter says that you're the Messiah, And we know that's right. But even if we don't admit it, like Peter, we often rebuke Jesus too. I mean, we have certain ideas about what Jesus is supposed to be like. Jesus is supposed to comfort us and love us and make our lives better. And that's what Peter thought about the Messiah too. He was supposed to make their lives better by kicking out the Romans. Today, we want Jesus to support us politically. We want him to hate the same people we hate. We want him to embrace the status quo and support modern American middle-class lifestyles. But he doesn't. Jesus called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Or in other words, Messiah does not mean what you think it means. And discipleship does not mean what you think it means. Jesus did not come to kick out the Romans. He did not come to erase all the suffering in this world. He did not come to get rid of every pain and problem in your life. And our being disciples does not mean that we get to sail through this life carefree. Instead, Jesus, the one who is the Messiah, surprisingly, came into this world of the Roman Empire, came into this world of suffering, came into this world of your problems and pains, and he went so deep and so far into it that he went to the cross for you. But then, as the text says, "And after 3 days, rise again." Jesus suffered like we do, but he also rose again to bring us to new life with him. Right, being a disciple, being a student of this teacher, being a follower of this Messiah, it's not like buying stock in a successful Savior and then getting rich and comfortable because of him. No, being a disciple means taking risks like he did. It's about being shamed in the eyes of this world. It's about looking stupid in the eyes of others. Right? We speak out for the sake of a gospel to a world that might not want to hear it. We proclaim God's love to a world that might tell us to just shut up. We sacrifice for others to show them that life is not really about me. And what happens? Well, we see another crazy twist. That this is the kind of life that truly matters. This is what living really looks like. It looks stupid and foolish and ridiculous to the whole class around us. But it's also brilliant and amazing and unlike anything else. So yes, the people around you might make fun of you or dismiss you, and they might do it behind your back so you'll never even know about it. Right? The one being teased doesn't always know when people roll their eyes at them. But that does not change the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. So really, it's not about us being accepted by the world around us or conforming to the standards of this world. It's not about having others like us or not. It's about Jesus. the one who is the Messiah, the one who conquers death. He shows us that nothing, not this world, not our fears, not even death, can stop his love for us or his rule of this world. So we might be able to say the right answer, but hopefully our lives say the right answer too. Like Peter, we are willing to look foolish for the sake of Christ, regardless of what others think. Sometimes we get it right, and sometimes we get it wrong. But no matter what, Jesus is still the Messiah. Class dismissed. In the name of the one who is the Messiah, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.